Hi, this is Paul Ingram of PainScience.com, and this is the PainSci Updates podcast. It is the very end of March, maybe the very beginning of April by the time I publish. And this is the second members-only post of the year when it should be the third, a little behind schedule. I aim for once a month, but tough year so far, accidents and infections and more. So I'm just glad that I've managed to. Today's post is a big boy, though. It weighs in at about 3,500 words. The topic is massage therapy for fibromyalgia, which is close to my heart and long overdue for deep dive treatment. As always, this got bigger than I expected it to. Seemingly, the deeper you go, the more you find to explore. I'm sure I've missed some things, so I will be looking forward to your suggestions, as always. And also, by the way, this is a near perfect example of the weird balancing act that I do trying to make a piece work well for both patients and professionals. It really is for both kinds of audience members. Whether you're coming at this from the patient perspective or from the professional perspective, this is for you. So let's get this nerd party started with a high-level summary. Of fibromyalgia, not massage therapy. I think everybody knows what massage therapy is. People with fibromyalgia hurt all over for no known reason. Massage therapists stand almost no chance of actually improving this strange disease, but they probably can offer something that no one else can. Some soothing symptom relief that might be somewhat of a bigger deal than soothing sounds like. And massage could also be helpful at fighting the musculoskeletal brush fires that are common in fibromyalgia patients, the flare-ups of all kinds of more ordinary causes of pain that complicate the condition. That, however, is more or less the end of my optimism on the matter, and there's hardly any science to support any of that. Meanwhile, massage therapists are prone to overconfidence in their ability to understand, treat, and even cure fibromyalgia. They're also often too aggressive, underestimating the fragility and the sensitivity that defines the experience of fibromyalgia. Too many patients have been abused by recklessly intense massage with misguided goals. So that's the view of the topic from orbit. Let's zoom and enhance now. Fibromyalgia certainly seems like a condition that massage is well suited to treat. And gosh, a lot of people try. And why is that? Exactly. What is it that makes people think that massage therapy is just the thing for fibromyalgia? So let's talk a little bit more about fibromyalgia, dig in a little deeper. This is still a high-level summary. I have a whole article about fibromyalgia. It's actually a book in progress, albeit very slow progress. So if you really want to learn about fibromyalgia, you want to go to that guide. But let's talk about it a little bit more here. It's a condition of unexplained widespread body pain and fatigue. About 1-2% of the population suffer this way, which is a ridiculous number. That's huge. You pass people on the street who have fibromyalgia all the time. Its existence used to be controversial, but that's fading now. It is a widely recognized condition. Long COVID really helped with that, raising the awareness of how physiology sometimes goes haywire after infections. Unfortunately, recognition is often about as far as it goes. Ignorance, mystery, and controversy still swirl around fibromyalgia like a bad smell. Just one example. It's a myth that it's a diagnosis of exclusion. It's not. It has specific diagnostic criteria that can and should be used to rule it in. But it continues to be a wastebasket diagnosis in practice, hence the perpetual confusion on this point. Okay, let's move on now to my personal experience with fibromyalgia and massage. Full disclosure, I have some skin in this game, which is always a double-edged sword in science communication. I have been one of those fibromyalgia weirdos myself since 2015, and I've also had a lot of massage therapy to try to cope with the disease. So I write about this with professional and personal passion. When I was a massage therapist, many years I became a fibromyalgia patient myself. I had a reputation for gentleness that attracted fibromyalgia clients, many of whom were refugees from the careless brutality of other massage therapists. Since then, in my publishing career with readers around the globe, I've heard countless similar hair-raising stories of overconfident, rough, and bizarre treatment. I got lucky, though. I got lucky with a really great therapist for a few years. From 2016 to 2019, I think, I had an excellent massage therapist who will probably hear this. So, hi. Her style was ideal for my needs. It was gentle and cautious and humble. And yet, crucially, she could also skillfully, collaboratively dial up the intensity where I occasionally craved it. The overall trajectory of my fibromyalgia did not change, and yet her help also still seemed invaluable. I shudder to think how much more stressful those early years would have been without her help. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that it was the early years. I was new to fibromyalgia and feeling kind of traumatized by it. It is traumatizing. And so I think I probably needed it more then emotionally than I do now. And if it had been less controlled at that time, I think it would have been much more difficult psychologically. I don't think that my 5-star review was based solely on getting mild and transient relief. It often seemed more lasting. My tendency to get flare-ups never changed, but massage certainly seemed to blunt some of them nicely. My therapist retired, alas, as good as I had it with her. The benefits weren't so astonishing that it seemed worth the costs and risks of trying to find a satisfactory replacement. I've only tried a couple of times. The results have been not great, too strong, too haphazard, and, of course, too much pseudoscientific bullshit. I don't know about you, but I find it hard to relax on a massage table when a massage therapist says, "So, have you tried homeopathy? Or I'd like to look more closely at your posture today." So massaging the disease away is obviously a long shot. Let's talk about how massage might help fibromyalgia if it does. You can't rub out the lupus, and you probably can't rub out the fibromyalgia either. There's never been any good specific reason to think that massage can alter the course of the disease of fibromyalgia. After all, we don't really know how it works in the first place, because it probably isn't one disease, but a category of problems with similar symptoms. None of them are particularly likely to yield to kneading muscle or stroking the skin or yarding on connective tissue. For instance, some cases of fibromyalgia may be caused by chronic irritation of the spinal cord from various kinds of upper cervical instability and trouble at the junction between the skull and the cervical spine. Others might be post-viral syndromes closely related to long COVID and chronic fatigue syndrome, which involves some profound physiological jiggery-pokery. And that, by the way, is, it's very complicated, too complicated to get into here, but both of those are possibilities in my case, but particularly the post-viral syndrome. My wife and I had really severe flu in the spring of 2015, and it basically seemed like I never got better from it. Like, it at first glance, if it weren't for the rather extraordinary complications and details happening at the same time, it would seem like a no-brainer. I got sick. It was rough. I didn't recover, exactly like long COVID. So clearly, massage is unlikely to be able to do much to change either of those predicaments. The complications of the disease are another matter. Fibromyalgia seems to produce a high rate of more conventional aches and pains and injuries, especially regional flare-ups of crampy, aching muscle pain. And that's the kind of discomfort that anyone might seek out a massage for. It's just that fibromyalgia patients have more of that and worse. But they might be as individually treatable with massage as they are in anyone else. And how treatable is that? Well, that is what the rest of my massage therapy article is about, and one of my entire books, and parts of all of the others. So there's a lot to be said, a lot to be discussed about whether or not massage can help even ordinary aches and pains. But these problems are certainly a more conventional and realistic challenge for massage therapy than cure fibromyalgia. So let's get to one of the room elephants here. What about inflammation? So the main fancy reason that people think that my fibromyalgia and massage go well together is that they know that fibromyalgia patients are inflamed, which is probably true. And they believe that massage is anti-inflammatory, which is probably not true. They either believe that explicitly and specifically because they remember a study that said so, or they believe it in a much sloppier way because it just seems like the obvious low-hanging science fruit explanation for why massage is so awesome in general. Anything that feels that great must be anti-inflammatory, am I right? I'm always anticipating objections when I'm preparing content, and I can never guess them all, but this one is obvious. I would get a lot of cranky feedback if I didn't tackle this idea. But it sounds smarter than it is. There is no good scientific support for the idea that massage is anti-inflammatory. And even if there was, it is unlikely that it would be just the right kind of anti-inflammatory effect for fibromyalgia. Inflammation it's a short word for immune system activities as diverse as a rainforest. And this is not properly appreciated by very many people. It's really common to drastically oversimplify the nature of inflammation. Inflammation is immune system activity, and the immune system has a lot of different activities. It's very complicated, which is, even that is a hilarious understatement. I mean, it is truly mind-boggling how complicated it is. Whatever the immune system is up to in fibromyalgia, it is probably no more responsive to massage than it is in people with rheumatoid arthritis or irritable bowel syndrome or atherosclerosis or asthma or fever or sepsis. Inflammation is not one thing, and you can't treat it like one thing. Just like not all fires can be put out with water, which is I've got a link in the post there to a super nerdy blog post about the epistemology of fire putting out from physical therapist Eric Mira. And what about the sensitization? This is the next elephant in the room. The next major reason that people think maybe massage for fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia makes you feel bad all over, and massage can make you feel good all over. And so maybe it's a good match. As popular as the anti-inflammatory massage claim is, I think that this is actually the more basic and common logic of the massage fibromyalgia link. This is the main reason that massage is thought to be helpful, the hope that it can paint over the awful sensations with something nicer to try to reduce the suffering. Now, there might be more to it than just fighting a bad feeling with a nice one. Fibromyalgia patients suffer from sensitization, a pathological overactivity of threat signaling from many tissues, probably driven by immune arousal, just like the flu aches, but lasting, which, by the way, has always been kind of my favorite simple way to explain what fibromyalgia is like. It's like having the aches and pains that you get at the beginning of a flu, but it keeps going. It's not as severe. I mean, those aches can be really bad, but it is very persistent, and that's the whole problem. And qualitatively, it's basically identical. It's come as a surprise to me over the years to learn that a lot of people actually don't know what I mean by that. When I first started using that analogy many years ago, I just assumed everybody knew what the flu aches were like, but nope, turns out not, which is interesting. Yeah, some people have just never had that experience. How nice for them. Whereas I have always gotten pretty good aches at the beginning of all infections, probably not just flu, probably, you know, basically all the respiratory infections I've ever had have begun with a day or two of aching, sometimes pretty mild and with the milder infections, but it's always there and it's not there for everyone, which is kind of interesting. Anyway, I digress. So massage probably can't change the why of the sensitization. Another example of a hypothesis about how fibromyalgia might work, it may literally be caused by an ongoing infection or something about the aftermath of one. And if that's true, then the immune system is probably going to remain active and massage can't get it to stand down for a bit of relaxation any more than it can cure the common cold. In the most wildly optimistic scenario, sensitization might be substantially powered by severe stress. I don't actually happen to believe that this is true, not for most people, not for most fibromyalgia patients. But if it was, that is a needle that massage might have a fighting chance of moving. But fibromyalgia probably doesn't work like that. And even if it did, it would still be a really tall order. If someone is so stressed out, if they're that severely stressed that they're that it's breaking their physiology, that is a heavy lift. Massage is relaxing, but it ain't that relaxing. It isn't a magic bullet for extreme psychological stress. So it's plausible, though, that massage might be able to temporarily turn down the volume. Even if it can't do anything about why the volume is so high in the first place. This is why soothing might be a bigger deal than it sounds like. Getting right to the heart of the matter, just the right massage, might be able to lift that pathologically low pain threshold, treating the symptom quite directly and robustly. Best case scenario. Here's a little analogy. NSAIDs, like ibuprofen, are particularly good for menstrual cramping for a very specific physiological reason, a little bit of just right biochemistry. And yet they still aren't curing anything. They're not getting rid of the reason that the cramps are happening, but they are blocking them to a substantial extent. So it's just that they're better for that symptom than other symptoms, better than other painkillers for that symptom. Now, massage for fibromyalgia, best case scenario, might be like that. Or not. It might just deliver ordinary sensory soothing and distraction, nothing relevant to the mechanism of the disease. Still valuable, but weaker and briefer, like using acetaminophen instead of NSAIDs for the menstrual cramping. Just not as relevant. Either way, whether it's a lot or a little, it's just symptom control rather than treating the root of the problem. But damned if we don't all need some symptom taming sometimes. Beware of denigrating symptom masking, especially around chronic pain patients. Makes us cranky. Unfortunately, even this simpler rationale for fibromyalgia massage is not a clean win, not by a long shot. Because sensitization can be easily aggravated, probably more easily than it can be eased. The same sense that wrecking things is easier than building them. So, how to harm a fibromyalgia patient in just 1 hour? Many fibromyalgia patients avoid massage. They may feel extremely fragile, like they are made of thin glass. And even a slightly overzealous massage is too intense and has real potential to cause a flare-up. And still another problem, the malaise, the oogie feeling. Just like ME/CFS, that's myalgic encephalitis and chronic fatigue syndrome, just like ME/CFS patients don't feel just tired, fibromyalgia patients don't just feel sore and gross. They share a sickly quality. An underappreciated fact about fibromyalgia is the soreness is like the aches and pains of the early stages of a flu. And indeed, that similarity may not be a coincidence, as discussed above. And weirdly, Rather than being clearly anti-inflammatory or making people feel good all over, massage is actually somewhat notorious for the weird phenomenon of post-massage soreness and malaise, an effect that often afflicts even healthy people. But if you came in the door feeling that way already, well, it's a disaster to aggravate that. And I have definitely experienced that disaster personally and seen it clinically. Seen in this light, it's starting to seem like massage might be terrible for fibromyalgia. And yet, sufficiently respectful, gentle massage, fine-tuned to the preferences of the patient, shouldn't be a problem. In other words, crazy thought here. Good massage should feel good for most patients, but especially the ones with fibromyalgia. It should feel good, and surely a good enough feeling massage could help soothe the frazzled nerves of an uninjured patient whose primary symptom is pain. And if it can't do that, what good is it? Just like with back pain, fibromyalgia seems like it really should be in massage's wheelhouse. So there's got to be enough science for this to be clinically proven, right? Right? Crickets. So what do the experts reckon? Let's get into the expertise and the science. Let's get some citations in here because so far this has been an unusually opinion-heavy piece. What do the experts reckon? In 2017, Thieme, I don't know how to say that name. T-H-I-E-M-E. Thieme et al. Reviewed 4 sets of treatment guidelines for fibromyalgia. So this is a review of treatment guidelines, which are themselves kind of like scientific reviews, but not really. They reviewed 4 sets of guidelines produced by 4 different organizations. Although dense reading, it all boiled down to a really simple conclusion. They generally didn't agree with each other. One group strongly recommends against massage therapy, basically because of the risks and harms that I outlined above. Another, weakly against it. A third recommends it moderately. And the fourth, no comment, not even mentioned, which is kind of fascinating. And that's fibromyalgia experts, not massage experts, fibromyalgia experts, trying to tell clinicians how to help fibromyalgia patients. And if they can't, well, who the hell can? Read the lines between the guidelines, and it's just obvious that no one really knows. Clinical guidelines are a double-edged sword. They're generally reliable snapshots of the best ideas available and mostly avoid the worst, but they're also dry opinion pieces written by a committee showing off their collective professional biases. They often have all of the foibles of a scientific review, but don't even bring the science, which is true even of relatively rigorous medical guidelines. And in a longer footnote, which I won't read any further into it, I give a couple citations, some examples of how even more mainstream guidelines aren't great, and it just gets worse as you stray from the mainstream. The reason for the inconsistency is obvious. There's not nearly enough science. So next, let's look at essentially the only review of the science that there is, a 2014 review of studies from China. It's not particularly helpful, but beggars can't be choosers. If the Salamander brand wasn't so focused on science, I wouldn't even bother with this one. But my job is to bring the science. It's right in the name. So even when it's lame, I've got to discuss what the science can tell us, such as it is. And like the guidelines, this paper mostly shows off what a shabby state massage therapy research is in. It proves nothing about massage for fibromyalgia one way or the other. It's obviously inconclusive, despite the positive-sounding conclusion. There are major caveats on what they report. It epitomizes the garbage-in, garbage-out problem with meta-analysis. There was virtually no research on this topic worth analyzing to begin with, and trying to pool the results of several weak studies is basically meaningless. To the extent that the study results are generally inconclusive and ambiguous, the conclusion of any review is going to have more to do with the author's opinions and biases than hard data. It is somewhat novel, the review, because it includes a little bit of Chinese research, but that doesn't really help. And in fact, it might even make things worse. Unsurprisingly, the review's conclusions are superficially positive, because of course they are. That's apparently what reviews exist to do. They exist to say that the evidence is promising if it's inadequate. So in this case, they said massage, quote, significantly improved pain, anxiety, and depression in patients with fibromyalgia. That sounds great, but really, seriously, did it really, though? It turns out that is only statistical significance, not clinical significance. The size of the measured benefit is trivial, much smaller than the amplitude of the noise in the data. Using the word significantly this way is technically correct and defensible, but otherwise misleading to all but the most alert readers. Statistically significant results can be clinically insignificant, and are in this case. That is, they're mathematically sound, but nevertheless unimportant. This is a common bit of sleight of hand that researchers use to make their conclusions sound more like good news, and I have referred to this problem in probably about 700 places in my writing over the years. That conclusion also is based mostly, what is positive about it, is based mostly on the data showing some relief from depression and anxiety. That's the only truly evidence-based benefit of massage, good for anyone, including people with fibromyalgia. Unfortunately, it's got nothing to do with actually improving their fibromyalgia, and if you leave the effective effects out, the mood effects out, if you leave that out, there's little left. Finally, the data is just silent on long-term effects because, of course, only two studies had any follow-up data at all. Without promising data about long-term effects, it would be hard to say that massage works for fibromyalgia, even if the short-term data were much more strongly positive than it is. So, as of 2014, more than 10 years ago now, the evidence is muddled and faint and unreliable. Let's do something more up to date. There have been no more reviews of massage for fibromyalgia science since then, largely because there is hardly anything else to review, just one obvious candidate, in fact. In 2020, Nadal Nicholas et al. Published the results of a tiny little test of the effects of massage on women with fibromyalgia. Much like the review above, I wouldn't normally, with a lot of other topics, this study would not be good enough to bother talking about. It's just that there's so little, so I will talk about what there is. This study, you know, is a perfectly good idea, but tiny and ill-conceived. They had a dubious control group, quote-unquote control, that likely suffered from a Frostrebo effect. That's also known as performance bias, where the control group participants were probably not thrilled to be relegated there. Get a load of this. Massage therapists will be amused by this. Everybody will be amused by this. Think about this. Instead of massage, the control group participants received, wait for it, ultrasound sessions performed without conductive gel and with the machine turned off. Oh, such luxury. Lovely. Also, the intervention, the actual massage, was so minimal that it would make most massage therapists laugh with disbelief that anyone would think it was worth studying. Quote, moderate pressure for 15 minutes on the posterior cervical musculature. That's it. That's the treatment. Seriously? These are quite serious flaws. But we take what we can get in this field. It really doesn't mean much on its own, but for what it is worth, that lame massage group got better by most measures compared to the ridiculous control group, just a little. And with one odd exception, this is interesting, they got more fatigued. I am not sure what to make of that. Were they getting some post-massage malaise, the phenomenon discussed earlier? Were they much more relaxed on average and that registered as tired? Like the way relaxation and weariness get tangled up for a lot of people on holiday or on a Sunday? Or is there even a difference? I've often wondered if the reason I sometimes feel so bedraggled after a massage is that experience breaks down my psychological defenses against fatigue. Like everyone with chronic pain, I always feel like I'm fighting to act normal, to soldier on, Like I'm marching resolutely into a cold, hard headwind, and what happens if massage takes the fight out of you? Well, that's some pretty speculation, but remember that we're talking about moderate pressure for 15 minutes on the posterior cervical musculature here, and I am not sure that's breaking through my psychological defenses against fatigue. Also, weird, even the presumably disappointed control group members showed almost the same improvements from a rub with a cold ultrasound wand, which is weird, but the control group pretty much always improves. Just a fun fact about clinical trials. I'm always rather amazed by how predictable that effect is. This is specifically why a good study has to be a menage a trois comparing the treatment to no treatment and to a sham or placebo, which is known as an analysis of variance or ANOVA. And failure to do that is, quote, a widespread stark statistical error found in about half of all studies, including this one. All right, that's more than enough about a really weak little study. Let's wrap this up. Should people get massage for fibromyalgia? Yes, cautiously. The weak evidence isn't why I stopped seeking out more massage for my own fibromyalgia. My concern is entirely practical. The exasperating and expensive process of finding a sufficiently gentle and humble therapist. The tricky goal is to find massage that is strongly focused on having a non-threatening sensory experience, pleasing and relaxing and satisfying. It is not easy, and it is not going to be a cure, but it may be helpful. And maybe science will even show that it's helpful someday. Not holding my breath. The most serious likely danger is symptom aggravation, but a close second is the waste of a bunch of time and money chasing a pseudoscientific or downright magical cure, even if it's gentle. The genuine minor benefits of a pleasant massage can make the hope of a bigger benefit seem much more realistic than it is. Far too many massage therapists will insist that what you truly need is a good chakra balancing or vagus resetting or emotional trauma releasing or 100 others. Not only are such expensive distractions the last thing fibromyalgia patients need, no one should vote for therapy like that with their hard-earned dollars. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next time, and again, I look forward to your suggestions for all the things that I missed despite the length of this post.